Crossover Thursday here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Aaron Freeman of the Locked On Falcons podcast is here to join me as we preview this weekend's matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons right here on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Let's get it.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Dave Harrison here at the Locked On Bucs podcast, joined today by Aaron Freeman of the Locked On Falcons podcast for this Crossover Thursday episode here at the Locked On Podcast Network. And that is going to be brought to you today by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is a first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchups, winner take all. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use promo code Locked On for a 100% deposit match. Welcome to today's episode. Again, I'm David Harrison on Twitter at dharrison82. My normal co-host James Yarko on Twitter at jyarko_bucks. The show is at Locked On Bucks. I am a staff writer for SB Nation's BucksNation.com. Find that on Twitter at Bucks_Nation. James and I both write over there about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what are we writing about this week? Well, we're writing about a couple of things, but mainly this weekend's matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. The potential this weekend, if the New Orleans Saints lose and the Falcons lose, then of course the Buccaneers win to take a 4-game lead with 5 games left to play in the NFC South. It's a beautiful thing, no matter how you slice it. If the Buccaneers win, they still at worst maintain their 3-game lead over the New Orleans Saints, again with 5 games left to play, a near insurmountable lead. Not quite insurmountable, but near. Let's see how the Buccaneers and Falcons will get to whatever decision is made at the end of this weekend's matchup and bring in Aaron Freeman of the Locked On Falcons podcast.
So, guys, it is Crossover Thursday. I am one of your hosts here to preview this Atlanta Falcons-Tampa Bay Buccaneers matchup. Of course, I'm Aaron Freeman, the host of Locked On Falcons, joined by my good buddy David Harrison of Locked On Bucs, one half of the Locked On Bucs podcast. Shout out to James Yarko. And we're going to be previewing this Falcons-Bucs matchup. David, my friend, you know, getting into this game, you know, let's jump right into it. What's sort of, for you, the big storyline surrounding the Bucs heading into Week 13?
I think the storyline for the Buccaneers has to be finding consistency on both sides of the ball. You know, throughout the season, we've seen the Buccaneers offense kind of carry the brunt of the weight. And I think that's what we saw early on, especially as the defense was going through so many injuries and losing so many pieces, critical pieces. Greg Allman of The Athletic, who covers the Buccaneers, actually tweeted today that something that I wasn't aware of off the top of my head, that the Buccaneers have started 10 different secondaries and 10 different, you know, cornerback pairings in the NFL season. Last week was actually the first time that they had the same two cornerbacks starting for back-to-back games, as Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting both started back-to-back games finally after Sean returned after being injured in week one. And now you have Jamel Dean, who was in a non-contact jersey on Wednesday at practice, and he'll probably still play. Carlton Davis looks like he's well on his way to returning, may or may not return against the Atlanta Falcons. But then we have this shift, right? And you have the 2-game losing streak to the Saints and the Washington football team, where you really see the Buccaneers on both sides of the ball, neither side carrying the other, both sides just kind of falling apart at critical moments. And then you have them coming back to winning football, and then especially a big win over the Indianapolis Colts, where really you saw that defense kind of had to hold on until Tom Brady and the offense figured out what they were going to do against Colts off and stop shooting themselves in the foot. So we've seen a little bit of everything. We've seen the defense carry the day. We've seen the offense carry more of the season. We've seen the team completely collapse. Now we need to start seeing this team put together winning football on both sides, all three phases, if you want to go even deeper with it, and do it consistently, because we all know December is the most critical month in the NFL season. So this is where your playoff teams need to start looking like playoff teams and consistent performers. So, and that's going to start this weekend with a trap game, and it's a divisional game on the road, always competitive in the NFC South, no matter what the records are. So this is the perfect game for this team to kind of find their groove if they can.
Yeah. And you look at the opposite side for the Falcons, and, you know, they had a rough stretch of games there with losses to Dallas and New England, where they really couldn't put any points on the board, and their defense gave up 43 points to the Cowboys. They looked much better against the Patriots. They come back with a needed win against a relatively soft team like the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's basically what the Falcons have done all year long when they've won all their games. They've been against the weaker opponents on their schedule, and they've struggled certainly against some of the better opponents. And obviously the Bucs are going to be one of those better teams that they're going to face. And this is an opportunity for this team to show that, you know, that sort of normal that they've been playing at this season is not going to continue. And we saw the Falcons run game get on track for the first time last week against Jacksonville. They kind of need that going up against this Bucs defense, and whether that can continue against a arguably, I'm sure very few people would argue against it, more formidable defensive front than what you see in Jacksonville. You need to see if the passing game can get back on track. Can they get Kyle Pitts involved? We saw the passing game very effective in that previous matchup with the Buccaneers. And then you wonder what the defense is like. Again, played better against the Patriots, kept that offense that had been on a hot streak in relative check in that game. Obviously, Jacksonville is not an offensive juggernaut, but played relatively well against that unit. They didn't play down to their competition by any means. And so you wonder, okay, is this really the time where the defense is starting to come together in Atlanta? And can they get tested against this Bucs offense, this high-powered Bucs offense that's going to be potentially down or will be down Antonio Brown? And whether or not this defense can keep that offense in check enough where, you know, can the Falcons offense take advantage of some of those injuries on the Bucs secondary and maybe exploit some of those things and maybe make this a much more competitive game than we've seen in recent weeks, like we saw in that week 2 game where it was pretty close going into the fourth quarter. Then everything kind of fell apart for the Falcons with 2 pick sixes there in that week 2 matchup. But this is an opportunity for the Falcons to prove that, you know, while, you know, expectations aren't high that they will actually win this game, but certainly expectations should be reasonably high, as you say, a divisional game where this team can, you know, punch this Bucs team in the mouth and show, hey, you know, we can, you know, play with the best of them in this league.
Yeah, and this is a team, this is a Buccaneers team that, you know, especially in recent weeks has shown, and even against the Indianapolis Colts in a win, that they are going to, you know, for whatever reason, some, you know, usually it's hindering themselves, whether it be a turnover that wasn't forced by the defense, or it'd be penalties or just stalled drives, missed targets. Tom Brady has been uncharacteristically inaccurate at times and kind of off his own pace, especially on the road. And that's kind of the big thing with this season, is that the Buccaneers are a much better team at home than they are on the road. And I said this, you know, before last week's win against Colts, that every team, I think, kind of says that, right? Every team is either better at home or better on the road for whatever reason, to a certain extent. But this team, just a little bit more than the cliche of you know, being comfortable playing at home. It's a Jekyll and Hyde type of situation, and the team just looks completely, they either lack energy or they kind of just look out of sync early on, especially in some of these road games. So yeah, for the Atlanta Falcons, if they can take advantage of that, that's going to be the key, right? That's where Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts kind of fell short, is they couldn't really take advantage of it. Granted, they had a lead, you know, and all those things, but they couldn't really kind of put the pedal down and really put the Buccaneers in an uncomfortable situation. That's going to be the key. And Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, is a guy that obviously everybody's going to have to look for as we move towards our matchups in this game. But like you mentioned, Antonio Brown is going to be out of this one. Mike Edwards even has a shoulder injury, didn't participate in practice on Wednesday. And, you know, he would love to get back on the field to see the Atlanta Falcons again.
Yeah. And, you know, the injury situation with the Bucs is certainly something that's going to affect this matchup. It's potentially, given these injuries starting to accumulate, is going to potentially impact that team and what their goal is at the end of the season of playing football in February. And we'll sort of see how that plays out for this Bucs team. But we'll move into what's going to play out for this Bucs team and Falcons team as we continue today's Locked On Falcons, Locked On Bucs crossover Thursday episode by getting into some of the key matchups to watch on Sunday. But before we get into that, guys, let's talk a little bit about fantasy sports. And nobody likes playing fantasy sports to lose. Winning feels so much better. We'll see which teams on Sunday can come away with that winning feeling. But for those of you that are playing fantasy football rather than participating in Sunday's action between the Bucs and Falcons, hopefully you're not participating in that action. We got a winning proposition for you, and that is Stat Hero. It's the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup, winner take all. And the crazy part is that Stat Hero shows you their lineups before you play, and you handpick the team that you want to face one-on-one with Stat Stat Hero. You are in control of the stakes. You decide how much you're going to play for, and Stat Hero has no choice but to take it because they're daring you to beat them. All you got to do to take advantage of this great offer, sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon. Use the promo code locked on for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon with the promo code locked on for a 100% deposit match. stathero.com/lockedon, promo code locked on. Terms and conditions apply. So we're continuing Crossover Thursday here with myself, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, David Harrison, one half of Locked On Bucks. And let's get into some of these key matchups in this game. We know that particularly the Bucks have a tendency to exploit some of the matchups, particularly when it comes to the Bucks offense versus the Falcons defense. One of the things that I'm interested in terms of the matchup is going to be the strategy part of it, where we saw in that week two game, the Bucs really carved up the Falcons whenever they deployed cover two in that game. We saw Rob Gronkowski have a big day. We saw other tight ends like O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate make a number of big plays in that game, essentially exploiting that void in the middle of the defense when the Falcons were playing those split safety looks. Charting the film of that game, the Falcons were much more effective playing more single high man coverage, playing more of that cover three look. And I wonder if they're going to go back to that. That's been kind of the style of defense they played the last couple of weeks. But obviously, when you're going up against this Bucs high-powered attack with players like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, now that Antonio Brown's out of the lineup, does that make the Falcons feeling a little bit better that they might be able to match up with those guys? You have A.J. Terrell, who's playing lights out this year, has had some issues in the past going back to his rookie season, going against guys like Mike Evans when they asked him to be more of that shadow corner. So I'm very curious from the matchup standpoint, sort of A.J. Terrell versus whichever receiver he's going to be lining up against, and Dean Pease going up against, you know, Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, to see if Bruce Arians has enough confidence in this defense based off of the progress that they've shown the last couple of weeks that they can man up this Bucs team and be a little bit more willing to maybe press them at the line of scrimmage and maybe dial up some pressure. And maybe, again, Tom Brady's seen everything that you could possibly throw at him. But, maybe that's going to be the way that they can potentially slow down this Bucs offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a pick your poison type of situation, right? And we've seen a lot of defenses, especially recently against the Buccaneers offense, kind of play that high shell. That's exactly, how Bruce keeps putting it, is that high shell coverage where you have the two safeties deep and you're basically not letting guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's and even Scotty Miller, now that he's back on the field, get past your last line of defense and open up the field for those deep passes. But what that's doing is opening up the underneath stuff, and then you have to rely on your linebackers, guys like Deion Jones, to make those plays in the intermediate part of the field and stick with guys like Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, who's turned into quite the receiving threat himself for the Buccaneers offense. And that's really kind of where things get a little bit difficult. If you open up and you stay deep, they're just going to kill you underneath. And Tom Brady is notorious in fantasy football circles for not caring about your wide receiver or whoever you have in your starting lineup. He's going to take the play that the defense gives him. If it's Leonard Fournette for four touchdowns in one game, then so be it. If it's Mike Evans for two and Gronk for one and Chris Godwin for one, then that's fine for him as well, as long as the Buccaneers get the win. In some aspects, right, you kind of say, well, would you rather die, playing soft and playing open and just getting dink and duck, death by a thousand paper cuts? Or would you rather man up, be physical, and try to win at the point of attack? I'm a more aggressive type personality, right? I would man up, I would blitz them, I would probably keep one safety high, try to help protect there, but I'm going to force them to force the action. And again, that's something that honestly Tom Brady would probably smile hearing that, and then Mike Evans would also be pretty happy. So it's just kind of one of those things that you've got to kind of pick the way that you want to approach this. For the Buccaneers side of things, attacking the Falcons defense, I'm looking at Leonard Fournette. He's been a huge impact in this season. Ronald Jones has been relegated to a backup role. At one point, it was basically a shared backfield where Rojo was kind of the starter, but then Leonard Fournette would get his burn as well. And then it turned into Leonard Fournette was basically the starter with Rojo getting in there. Then it was just Leonard Fournette for a couple of games. And now they're mixing in Rojo again, but it definitely is Leonard Fournette's show. The Atlanta Falcons coming in with the 23rd ranked rush defense. And when you watch them again, against the Jacksonville Jaguars most recently, but against other opponents, they do. If they keep that secondary open, and they try to trust the front four there to stop the Buccaneers rushing attack, I'm not sure that they have the horses to necessarily do it. Now, injury concerns with Ali Marpet and Aaron Stinney definitely kind of make that a little bit different as well. But you look at Leonard Fournette against the Indianapolis Colts rush defense, still able to be very effective there. So that's kind of where I'm looking for the Buccaneers to initially try to attack this Falcons defense is up front with that run game. And if the Falcons can't stop it organically, they're going to kind of have to shrink down. And that's where things might open up in the back end. For the defense, Aaron, for the Buccaneers defense, I'm looking at Kyle Pitts and I'm looking at the Buccaneers linebackers. And I know that Kyle hasn't exactly been producing to what people expect. Although, you know, expectations and Kyle Pitts, like that's kind of been the buzzword, right? And that's, you know, with his draft position and everything. But this Buccaneers defense has been susceptible to tight ends and athletic players coming off the line of scrimmage. And Kyle Pitts fits both of those circumstances. Devin White is banged up a little bit. Levante David is always steady and secure, but he can't just stick with Kyle Pitts for the entire game. So I'm kind of wondering if the Atlanta Falcons come in with maybe some new wrinkles to try to scheme their rookie tight end open and get things going over the middle. Because again, just traditional defense, the more that the Buccaneers defense has to focus on the middle of the field, the easier it makes it on the perimeter for guys like Cordarrelle Patterson to try to get some more touchdowns against them.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup with the Falcons here with Kyle Pitts to see if they can get him going like they had earlier in the season. He's been relatively quiet. He's made plays here and there, but not certainly to the extent that we saw earlier in the season where he was dominant for a stretch of games. And then you look at some of the other matchups. Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be an interesting part of the Falcons offensive game plan. We saw him really get going on the ground and have a career high day with 108 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns last week. You know, again, can he do that again on the ground against a much more formidable Bucs front? What can he do in the passing game? We saw him make a number of plays there. And then you're talking about those injuries to the Bucs secondary. You know, the one player that's healthy is Sean Murphy Bunting. And historically, he has not fared well in these last couple of Falcons matchups. Russell Gage, who has not necessarily been a consistently productive player, but when you look throughout his career, he seems to feast against the Bucs, relatively speaking, in large part due to what he has been able to do against Sean Murphy Button, particularly in the slot. But, you know, the Falcons like to play Kyle Pitts in the slot. So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle to see sort of one or both of those guys being able to feast, particularly if guys like Dean and Davis are back this week. That's probably going to leave, you know, Murphy Bunting in the slot for a potential matchup. And circling back to Cordarrelle Patterson, not only on the ground, not only in the air, but potentially on special teams, right? Yeah. You know, Bucks, Bradley Pinion, I believe, is leading the NFL in touchbacks. So very rarely do teams get the chance to return. But we saw late in that Colts game, there was a big return that nearly won or at least tied the game for them late. Yeah. And so it's one of those things like we haven't seen Cordarrelle Patterson get going on special teams. And the injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago meant that he was not asked to return kicks this past week against Jacksonville. Will we see him back in that sort of role this upcoming week? Who knows at this point in time, particularly if the Falcons really are going to rely on him heavily as their lead tailback. Maybe they want to save him. But I do feel like if the Falcons are going to have a chance, they're going to need something in that third phase to really sort of give them an edge if they're going to be able to beat this team. And maybe the one opportunity that Cordarrelle Patterson has to potentially return a kick, you know, maybe he can potentially take that and break that one. And that may be the sort of jumpstart and spark that the Falcons need to really, you know, put the fear of God, I guess you could say, in Tampa Bay this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the Buccaneers, their own third phase, Jalen Darden dealing with concussion syndrome, concussion symptoms. You know, we'll have to see how that develops over the week. Concussions are always weird. He could be cleared and be ready to go for Sunday, or he could be out for 2 weeks. You never kind of know with the way those things go. But yeah, some good key matchups there for this game. And I mean, all across the board, right? Again, division games, this is kind of the fun of having these division rivals. That's why the NFL likes to keep some of these games to reserve them for the back half of the schedule, so that even if teams are out of the playoff race, they're still interesting. They still carry some weight. But neither of these teams obviously are out of the race. The Buccaneers obviously holding the number one spot in the NFC South as of right now. The Atlanta Falcons, I mean, what, 2 weeks ago, were the seventh seed. And I mean, you know, not for nothing, but the 5-6 Washington football team are the current seventh seed. So when the 5-6 team is holding a playoff spot as a wild card contender, then, you know, the chances for everybody to kind of get competitive here in the last month of the season are not lost. And of course, there's plenty of odds and there's plenty of props for teams making or not making the playoffs. Aaron, there are some places where if you bet on the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl because they're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, if they do it and you bet $100 for them to do it, you win $1 million. Now, I can think of a lot of other ways that you can spend $100 probably more wisely, like stocking up on cough drops for flu season. probably would be a better way to do that. But if you want to place that wager or any other wager, of course, our friends at betonline.ag will accommodate any of those betting lines because they've got you covered all season for more props, odds, more odds and lines than ever before, especially as football season continues its march towards the playoffs. Betonline.ag remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season. So head over to that updated desktop website or the mobile site, sign up today. And if you haven't already made your first deposit, make it. Use the promo code Locked On. When you drop that money in there, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. You drop $100 in there, use the promo code. BetOnline.ag gives you another 50. You spend that 50 on the Detroit Lions. If they win the Super Bowl, you make $500,000 and you didn't even risk any money in the process. And then maybe you put 100 on some other teams. Like, I don't know, the Buccaneers could be one of the favorites there. Whether it's basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games, take advantage of everything available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts.
So wrapping up today's Locked On Falcons, Locked On Bucks crossover Thursday, let's get into, you know, this line for the Falcons Bucks. Last I checked, it's moved even more in the favor of the Bucks, 11.5 points. Are some keys to victory, I guess, in terms of not only the Bucks' ability to win this game outright, if you want to go money line for a better line, or to potentially, you know, be able to get that big spread, cover that big spread, and sort of blow out this Falcon team like some of the teams like New England and Dallas have done in recent weeks for you?
Yeah, I think you have two teams right now that are kind of going in opposite directions as the season, you know, moves forward. And it's unfortunate, obviously, for the Atlanta Falcons, then specifically for a quarterback like Matt Ryan, who's been doing this for a long time, had some really good success. It just kind of seems like he's a veteran quarterback stuck in a situation most veterans don't want to be stuck in. But for this game, I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I said it when they played the New York Giants, another big spread in that game was expected. And it was really about beating yourself and not beating yourself, not keeping the other team in it for them. And by and large, you know, I think they were successful, obviously, in the end, getting the win there, but not as comfortable of a win as I think a lot of people expected it to be. And then again, you come in against the Indianapolis Colts, and again, another close win there against a very good team. But again, you want to see them avoid some of those mistakes. And then at the end of the game, like you mentioned, you see that third phase kind of come in there. You definitely don't want to create another problem on top of some of the other issues you have. Now, when you look at that Buccaneers game, though, only four penalties for Tampa Bay compared to six against Indianapolis. And you go back to the most recent divisional loss that the Bucs suffered, 11 penalties against the New Orleans Saints. So that's a very big improvement over the last few weeks. You need to see that again. And in order for the Buccaneers to cover this 11.5 point spread, I think you have to see that. I think you have to have four or fewer penalties. If that, you can't have any giveaways, right? You have takeovers, takeaways, and giveaways. I don't know that the Atlanta Falcons defense can necessarily manufacture a takeaway if Tom Brady is playing Tom Brady football, which is making smart decisions and taking what the defense gives him. And that's exactly what he's made his career off of, and the TB12 brand. So for the Buccaneers, as long as they're not giving the ball away, they should be able to cover the spread. I know we're going to get into predictions later. I do have them predicted to win by more than the 11.5 point spread, but that's because I have some confidence in this team that right here, it's December, it's crunch time. Finding energy has kind of been a little bit of their problem this season. It's December. Like, you shouldn't have to be able to find energy in December football. So I feel like this team is going to come out firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think how this game starts, I think, is going to tell us a lot about what we should, you know, see in terms of the final result, and whether a team like Atlanta can cover or do the impossible, I guess, as some people might say, and beat this Bucs team. Although I expect this game to be competitive. Going back a couple of weeks ago, I thought that Falcons Cowboys game was going to be competitive. Obviously it was not. But you know, I'm going to double down and believe that the Falcons will do the thing this week that they didn't do against Dallas. And I think the key for the Falcons is getting off to a fast start. We talked already about the slow start that the Bucs got off getting into that hole against Indianapolis, and they came back. The last time the Bucs were in Atlanta last season, they got down in a 24-7 hole. Obviously, then Tom Brady and Mike Evans and all those guys really went off in the second half and brought them back. But I think the key for the Falcons is basically do that same thing and finish better. And we've seen this Falcon team under Arthur Smith do a lot better job finishing games in the fourth quarter. That week two game against Tampa Bay and the week four game against Washington withstanding in that regard. But for the most part, pretty much all their wins have had them coming down and either driving down the field and getting a score to win the game, or as we saw last week against Jacksonville, getting a stop to seal their victory there. And so I think for the Falcons, getting off to that fast start and keeping their foot on the gas, the thing that has gotten Arthur Smith in trouble, it arguably got him in trouble last week against Jacksonville, was that they will get to these early leads and then kind of, you know, get conservative, try to run out the clock. And you can't do that against this Tom Brady team. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when the Saints were able to win that game with Trevor Siemian. They didn't decide, okay, we're just going to start handing the ball off to Alvin Kamara and that's going to win us the game. No, they kept their foot on the gas. And that's the only way that you're going to beat this Buccaneers team. And so my hope is that we'll see the Falcons get off to another fast start with the Bucs starting slow on the road, and then they can keep their foot on the gas, keep feeding the ball to players like Kyle Pitts and Cordero Patterson and Russell Gage through the passing game rather than relying on the running game. Obviously, if you can get the running game going, that's a bonus for you, but I don't think that's going to be the thing that you're going to win by trying to run out the clock. And then if you can get one of those turnovers, again, you're probably not going to be able to bait Tom Brady into an interception, but maybe you can get a fumble. We know Ronald Jones has a history of getting in Bruce Arians' doghouse with a fumble, so let's get him back in the doghouse with another fumble this week. And I think if you can get a couple of those and then maybe a big play on special teams, that's the sort of key for the Falcons to win this game. And obviously, if they can do check most of those boxes, I think it's going to be a competitive game. And in the case of sort of covering that big spread, that will give them a golden opportunity to keep this game close and make people win some money with the Falcons covering this game.
Yeah, potentially. And I mean, the turnover margin, turnover battle is always a huge part of any NFL game. And right now the Buccaneers +8 on the season, Atlanta Falcons -7. So again, opposite ends of the spectrum here, but any given Sunday, right? Aaron, let's get into predictions. And I don't know if you have a score prediction formulated yet or not. I do. So I will go ahead and share that here on the crossover again. Of course, I'll share it again on our final preview when James and I get back together for Friday as well. But I do have the Buccaneers winning. Obviously, I already kind of mentioned that. I do have them covering the spread. And it's actually kind of funny because I look at the game release here that the Buccaneers PR staff sent out to us. And it's interesting. I did not plan this. Right now, the Buccaneers are averaging 31.6 points per game, which is the best in the NFL. The Atlanta Falcons are scoring 18.1 points per game, which is 27th in the NFL. My prediction, Aaron, funny enough, is 31-17 Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, I'm right there with about 31 points for the Bucs. I have the Bucs winning this game, but I think the Falcons can keep it competitive and maybe this is like a 31-23, 31-24 type of ball game in the Falcons, whether it's a backdoor cover or whatever the case may be. I think that this game will be competitive in the fourth quarter, you know, final 8 minutes of this game. You know, maybe you'll be sweating a little bit there, David.
I love it. Worried. Bucs fans hate me for saying this stuff every week. I love competitive football. So, I mean, you know, if the Bucs win by three, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the fan bases, obviously. But, you know, I love competitive football. I would much rather like the Super Bowl. Super Bowl was boring in the second half. You know, honestly, let's be honest. That was boring football in the second half. It wasn't good football in the second half. But obviously, Bucs fans, you know, if you prefer, if there's going to be a blowout, you want it to go the Bucs way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I tell people all the time doing daily podcasts. Look, all I ask, I'm going to talk about you every day for 30 minutes. 5 days a week. And all I ask from you from the Atlanta Falcons is be entertaining and competitive on Sunday. That's it. For 3 hours, don't make me feel like I wasted my time every Sunday.
And in the meantime, check out the Braves, check out the Bulldogs. You know what I mean? Feel better about yourself.
There you go. There you go. So guys, that will probably do it for us here on Locked On Falcons. And of course, you know, we're talking a little bit about whether or not the Falcons or Bucks will cover this week. You know, who's the experts on that? That's the Locked On Bets podcast, where handicapping expert Lee Sterling's giving you his daily picks, his blowout specials, and his lock of the day. Maybe the Falcons Bucks matchup will be Lee's lock of the day or his blowout special. Maybe he'll surprise us and think the Falcons are going to blow out the Bucks. Whatever Lee picks, go check out Locked On Bets, obviously available on a variety of podcast platforms, just like Locked On Bucks, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs, and all the other shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check them all out on Odyssey, Apple, Google, Spotify, as well as on YouTube. So, David, that's going to do it for us here on another Crossover Thursday. I really appreciate you joining us. I'm looking forward to the next time we get to chat. I don't think it's probably going to happen this season, but who knows? The Falcons are in the playoff hunt. Bucks vying for that, you know, top spot. You know, maybe there's a chance we can get a 2-7 matchup to kick off January and in the postseason. So maybe there's an opportunity for us to do this one more time.
Yeah, I always love talking to you, Aaron. And unfortunately, right now, the Falcons are 0-2 against teams that I cover this season. So this is that third opportunity to get a win against the teams that I cover. But yeah, if we can do this again later this season, obviously always great talking to you. And even if not, maybe we can get together in the offseason, do some divisional updates and all that stuff.
Absolutely. That'll do it for us here on another Crossover Thursday, guys.
Another big shout out to Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, for joining me here to do that crossover episode here at the Locked On Podcast Network. One more episode coming up this week, guys. James and I will be back tomorrow to give our final thoughts, pick our players, give our keys to a Buccaneers win, and make our final score predictions as we get set for the weekend action in Atlanta. Thank you again for making this the first listen or first view of the day. And if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, and thank you for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.